Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at @TeresaGreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Manny.
How are you doing?
So good. So good. I love having these conversations. They, for me, remind me of what's important. That
little things, big things?
It is all the little things, right, that create the life that we're living. But it's such a powerful reminder when you listen to the positive changes that people are making. Positive in the sense that it's yielding positive results in a variety of different areas. It's like, yes, true. And I think that because I've been on my happiness journey for over 10 years now, at this point, I'm refining things, tweaking, making small little changes so that I'm continuing to up level. Mm-hmm. That I've been doing that. And now it's like, okay, where can I, you know, make small adjustments so that I can be just that little more happy? And sometimes, again, because the world is always pulling us away, that we need to practice. And having these conversations remind me of things that maybe I kind of forgot. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. I could be stepping that up a little bit, right? So I'm hoping that people listening to our conversations are saying, that's true. I could probably tweak a little bit more here or invest a little more time in this area. And oh yeah, I'm not doing enough about that situation. So I think like the interviews that we have been having on our last couple shows for me have been really highlighting some of the physical things that we can do to bring our physical bodies into alignment with the happiness that we are. Then when we don't feel well physically for various reasons, we're out of alignment with our happiness, right? It's hard to feel happy when you have problems.
Yep.
And so it's interesting listening to different people saying, well, you know, they took their health more into their own hands instead of relying on pharmaceuticals or doctors. Or, you know, I decided that instead of going to the bar with my friends, I was going to go to a gym.
Yeah.
Or I was going to go for a walk. And that walk then turned into a run as I noticed my health improving.
They break the pattern.
Yeah. And so I think these are all powerful reminders for us to like, how can we just make those, against 1% little bit changes, pushing ourselves a little bit past those boundaries to improve just that little bit more.
But everybody's always still stuck in their own pattern and daily routines. And especially if you've got kids and significant other, there's a whole routine regarding the household. There's a whole routine regarding your career option, their career option, the kids at what point in their lives they're at school, hockey, extracurricular, all that stuff, right? So it's like, it's hard for someone who wants to try to find more happiness in their life to break the pattern of what they're so used to when they wake up in the morning to the time that they go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Isn't it not? It's totally
hard. And you're not doing it all at once. It's again, 1% changes. That's why a lot of the New Year's resolutions fail, because people have a list this long of all the things.
One thing, if anything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like one that you believe that you're going to be able to commit to. And then as that one becomes more of a habit, again, they say it takes 28 days to create a new habit, that when you notice that you start to become consistent with it, then maybe add in another thing. Pick one area of your life that is making you the most unhappy, whether that's work or your personal relationships or whatever. Pick one thing
that you can your career option,
dedicate your more
partner,
time to.
Your kids, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And then start improving it 1% at a time. Mm-hmm.
But when you decide to choose that area, not pointing fingers, because this is what people want to do. They want to point fingers at everybody else and say, if only you were different, then I'd be happy. If only you were a little more like this, then I'd be happy. So you point to like your wife or your, and you're like, well, if only you were more understanding, if only you were more supportive, if no only were, then I'd be happy. But that, it has nothing to do with the outside.
No.
Right? That when you point fingers at other people, three fingers are pointing at yourself, saying that, look at yourself. How can you show up differently? And honestly, Manny, I don't know how it works, but when we choose to show up differently, it's because we're emanating this energy that causes the things around us to change. That when I made changes in my life, in private, that's why I developed Steps to Happiness Coaching, because I took various steps in private. Nobody knew about the things that I was doing. Even my coaching programs are very much about giving people the steps that they can take. And they don't even have to reveal to me what are the things that they're working through, that I give them tools for them to process what's happening. So that's what happened to me, that I read books that had tools, or I did a coaching program that had tools. I used those tools in the privacy of my own home, in my car, when I was alone, like out in nature, in my bathroom, in my bedroom, wherever I was, using those tools that helped me to reflect upon myself and to work through the things that were bothering me. And so it's bringing awareness to those things is the first step, that when we have to become aware of what are those things that are bothering me, what am I holding on to, like this baggage, those monkeys on your back that is just like you can't freaking let them go. Those are the things that you should address.
I think it's better too that, and a lot of the people that we talk to, they talk about how they started discovering changes independently. It wasn't, and because we've spoken to a lot of people where criticism comes out, judgment comes out, mm-hmm. a lot of this stuff will come out. So you can offer and you could let people know that you're doing this, but expect the criticism, expect the negative people or the people trying to say, why do you want to go that path? Come back to the bar, come back and hang it out with us, right? Just do it on your own.
Yeah, and don't even tell people.
Just do it on your own today, and then guess what? Do it once every single day, 7 days a week. You've improved 7 times now.
And don't even share it. Like, we're conditioned to ask everybody else what they think. What do you think? I'm about to embark on this new exercise. What do you think? No, it doesn't even matter what they think, because what they think is based on their 99% perception of. How it worked out for them, how it worked out for their relative, how it worked out from their like limited viewpoint of like humanity. What do you think? They have no clue. That's what I realized. It's like, you have no clue about what's on my heart, what's deep inside me that's bothering me. You have no clue. And that when I started all of this, I had a stack of books on my nightstand of like all these different people that were hearing from God and hearing from angels, and they were getting all this help and advice. And I'm like, I need help. And there's nobody on this planet that's going to be able to help me other than God. And so for me, I went to a medium. I don't know if you know this part of my story of how it all started. So yeah, I had all this. I'm like, I have questions of my life. That, you know, is this all there is to life? I'm not happy. It doesn't make sense. I have all the things. My life is perfect. Why am I unhappy? So why did you think
to go to a medium?
Because I'm like, only God's going to be able to answer these questions. There's nobody in my life that I felt like I could talk to. I could have been able to, but honestly, they would not have been able to offer me the guidance that I needed, because this was an inner journey. So I went to a medium and I said, listen, I have a stack of books, all these people hearing from God. I want to hear from God too. She said, well, Spirit, this is over 10 years ago. Well, Spirit is telling me you need to meditate. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I know how to pray, that I grew up Catholic, went to church, connected to God my entire life. So I knew how to pray, but meditate, I'm like, I don't know what that is. Now meditation is so cool. It's such a buzzword. Everybody does it. There's so many resources out there. Like, I'm happy for that. But back then it wasn't. It was weird and woo-woo. And so I was like, okay, well, I didn't know how to get started because I didn't even know what it was. Ironically, though, that there was a meditation center directly across the street from my Catholic church. The small little sign outside their house. And I'm like, what are they doing there? And so anyways, I called them up and I said, listen, you know, I was told that I need to meditate. Is that what you guys do in there? And they said, yes, actually, we have a meditation circle every month. If you want to come, we'll like help you to get started. So I went and they showed me about like, you know, how to do it, what it was all about. And they will tell you that I cried every single went for an entire year because it was like it was an experience of going inward and listening. That praying is about us speaking outward and asking for the things we need. We need help. We need guidance. You know, sorry, I made mistakes, you know, whatnot. When we meditate, it's about quieting the mind enough to be able to get answers and clarity around what we need help with. And so when I did that and just waited for that information to come, it was like there's a whole invisible world of energy, really, which is like, you know, God and your guardian angel and guides and ascended masters and lots of, let's say, people and entities from the other side, and also your soul, your spirit. So, you know, we want to call it our inner being or going inward and tuning into that guidance. Some people call it your intuition, your gut instinct, your spiritual self. It's just that. Okay. So you're tuning inward instead of outward, because outward is your personality, your identity. Someone says to me, Teresa, who are you? Well, I'm a mom, I'm a teacher, I'm a podcast host, I'm all of that. On the inside, it's my true and authentic self. It's my infinite, eternal part of me, my spiritual self. When we go inward, we discover a whole other world inside of us. And that is what I help people also to discover, is that people come to me and they've achieved all these things on the outside. And they say, is this all there is to life? I have all the things. Well, there is more to life. It's about actually now discovering your inner world versus the outer one. And on the inner world is where we discover our greatness, our magnificence, like Mark was saying. It's like a return to who we were before the world has had us believing a whole other thing about ourselves. And when I went inward, I discovered all this love inside of me that I had been looking outside myself my entire life and everyone around me, expecting everyone to love me, not realizing that I was love already, that all that love was inside me and I was disconnected from it. When we go inward, we discover that happiness. That's how I discovered what true happiness was, because I also thought it was in all these things, in our possessions, positions, my titles, my degrees, my experiences, my relationships. I thought happiness was outside, till when I went inward and I tapped into that happiness and I was like, oh, wow, I don't even have to do anything. It's all inside me all the time. I just have to make time to connect with it. And so meditation was, which I believe is a gateway practice that helps us to discover a part of ourselves that we're not taught to connect with. And I had a lot of resentment towards my religion for keeping that away from me. That as a little girl, I had conversations with my priests and I said, if I can't get to church, you know, my parents don't want to go that day. Like, can I talk to God, you know, at home? No, God's at church. You need to get to church. And so there I was, 8 years old on a Sunday, walking to church, which you would never send an eight-year-old to walk the distance that I did, because I said to my parents, I have to get to church. I have to be with God. Walking an unsafe distance to get to church. And there I remember me by myself, like, you know, in the pew and like praying on my knees. So connected. But they told me God was at church, Jesus at church. Unless I go to church, that's where it's, you can, but it's not the same because they're at church. So it kept all of this this love, this joy, this peace that exists inside of us, outside, and I was seeking it, and it was missing. And so this is what is like so much part of my work now, is understanding that it all starts from inside of us, and we just have to make time to connect with it.
But wait, so hang on a sec. You went to the medium, and they're the ones that told you that you can't pray unless you're at church?
No, she told me, they told me to meditate.
Meditate.
It was through meditation. And
that you were able to connect better with God.
Mm-hmm. That's inside of me.
But it had to be at church, though, according to other people?
No, my priest told me that God was at church, but God's inside me. God's everywhere. It's not at church. But I didn't realize that I could tap in to that, into my spiritual self, to have that connection.
I thought my understanding of a medium was someone that can actually communicate with the...
Uh-huh. Yes, okay. With dead human souls and stuff like that. Yes. But she said to me that spirit is telling you that you need to meditate.
Which spirit?
Oh, I don't know. Whichever guides that she was connecting with.
Okay,
right?
All right. Mm-hmm. To meditate. And that would help you get closer to God.
That would help me to get like the answers that I was looking for. And so
what kind of questions?
To the questions that I was asking, which is this all there is to life? Am I living my life's true purpose and full potential? Because I felt like there was always something missing. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not living my true purpose. Is this all?
Have you found your purpose?
I now know what. So thank you for answering that question. Because again, there is this misconception that purpose is this one big thing that we came here to do. And that statistically, only 25% of people believe they even know what their purpose is. And it's because we have this idea, this definition of purpose, that it's like this, again, one big thing that we came here to do. That's not true. That it's actually about living a life where we feel on purpose in every moment of our life. And feeling on purpose means that we feel that we're in exactly the right place at the right time, doing exactly what we were always meant to do, because it just feels so right. So when I reflect on my life, I was always on purpose, because I always felt that I was in exactly the right time doing the right thing. So when my children were small and I was having to be with them all the time and bringing them to play dates and their, like, you know, swimming lessons and volunteering at school and all those things, that I was on purpose. I was very happy doing the things that I was doing at that time. Then as they got older, then I started doing other things again that I felt were on path and on purpose, mm-hmm. because happiness again is that compass. It tells you when you're on path and on purpose. So I felt good doing the things that I was doing. And so that is always the indicator that you are on purpose, doing exactly what you were meant to be doing. As your life evolves and changes, your purpose changes, because it depends on what you're doing at the time that just feels so right. So I now realize that I was on purpose, but that definition of purpose needed to be redefined, because it's not one big thing, but rather us feeling, as I said, on purpose all the time.
Okay, I get it. I understand it. I'm not with the God part and everything like that, but I get it. I understand.
Which
that.
God part?
Just the religion part.
Yeah, that I had resentment?
No, my own, right? So there are individuals that don't turn to that, right? That there's other options, I guess, to turn to when you're looking for guidance, right? No?
Like other than going inside yourself to look for guidance?
Yeah.
I think that ultimately you know, like your spirit knows what you came here to do, why you chose to have this human experience. I think the answer lies within you. We're conditioned to ask outside and to look for guidance, but ultimately it's inside you. So when I work with people that are interested in doing this work, because my coaching is multifaceted, I cater it to depending on what the person is trying to achieve. So, but if somebody is looking to have more of that inner guidance and get clarity within themselves, I show them how to do that so that they're not asking everybody else, what do you think? But rather going inward and getting the guidance inside themselves, because it, you can get it inside yourself.
Do you think, Teresa, that when you question what your purpose is and what you're looking for, and you're trying to get answers to questions that you have never received answers for, it's right in front of you, but you keep on ignoring it because of the fear that's associated with confronting it? Do you think that's what happens to a lot of people?
I think absolutely that's part of it.
Because obviously, like, there is something to be said about paths and universe and spirituality, and you can keep on veering off all you want, but it's going to continuously redirect you, mm-hmm. and you're going to just continuously be confronted with it again.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just a waiting process where you have to get to a certain point in your life, whether that's maturity, age, or where you could actually finally see that this is what you were meant to be and do and things like that, right?
I think that we all have those crossroad moments that are brought upon by like a death of some sort, mm-hmm. a loss, mm-hmm. an illness, an accident, that now your back's against the wall or you're at the lowest point of your life and you're like, I have to make a change. So you've gone and now you have a terrible diagnosis. So now it's like, I don't need that. I don't need to have like stage 4 cancer in order for me to start cluing into the fact that aspects of my life are not working for me. I don't need that. I don't need to have some like tragic accident in order for me to realize that I need, the universe is always sending you signs and signals, but we ignore them, as you said, for various reasons. And I believe they come around again. And it's like, at first you get like a little tap that says, you know what? You need to look at that. So let's say the little tap is like, we can liken it to something wrong with your car, right? Where you hear a little sound and you're like, what's that about? But you're like, oh, whatever. So you get a little tap and you ignore it. Now you let go and now that sound becomes a little louder. So now another situation comes and like now you get punched in the arm and you're like, hey, that kind of hurt. Like, what's this about? But you're like, oh, it's okay. I'm just going to keep going. Now, same thing with your car. You get pulled over for that, like that light that maybe was causing the sound or whatever. The cop's like, hey, you need to go look at that. And you're like, yeah, it was on my list, but I don't have time for that. Same thing. I don't have time for that, for this issue that's like coming up that you're supposed to look at. Now you get into a freaking accident. And it's like, okay, but you heard that sound initially and you did nothing about it. So it's like, it keeps coming around and then it like blows you over and it's like, yeah, well, there were signs and stuff, but you were choosing to ignore it until it got really bad. I now have become very perceptive to like those signs and symbols. So I don't get thrown over. That as soon as I feel out of alignment, I'm like, what steps do I need to take to bring me back to happiness in addressing whatever situation is coming up for?
And that's what you're working on when you talk about refinement, where it's like you've spotted the path that you are meant to be on, but now all you're doing is just making that path stronger for yourself. That's the refinement part of it.
Yeah. Is looking at like all the things on my to-do list. So now, I mean, people are like, Teresa, do you even sleep because of all the things that I do? But all the things on my to-do list all bring me joy. Mm-hmm. But now it's like tweaking those things a little. And so I'm like, well, yeah, that brings me joy, but what changes can I make so that I feel even more happier doing it? So it's like, it's at this point, because I've been doing this for so long, is looking at it, saying what parts don't make me so happy. So, you know, parts of my business, like social media, for example, is not really something that I like doing. So I offload it. I've delegated that to someone else to do because it doesn't bring me joy. So those are like the little tweaks that to say, fine, I forced myself to do it before. And now I'm like, no, why do I do that? I can just delegate it to someone else who probably likes to do it and I can be happier not doing it. Yep. So those are like those little refinements, instead like letting go of clients and customers who are just like pains in the ass. But people are scared to do that because they, well, you know, if I let them go, maybe I won't have anyone else. And no, when we let go of the stuff that doesn't serve us, it creates space for new things to come in that do. We just have to hold on to the hope and the belief that the universe always has our back. It always wants us to be successful. It is always loving and supporting us. I believe that, always. So when I choose to let go of something that I feel like isn't serving me, I have trust that something that is of better alignment with me is going to flow in when I create space for it. It's like a cup that if you have all this junk in here, because you're like, well, if I let these clients go, like, you know, I may not be able to fill it up with anybody else. Yeah, but it's full. And it's full of junk. Yeah. It's only until you create space in that cup that now new can flow in, and that new that's going to flow in is always matching of energetic vibration.
But people
of that
don't
want to
let go of stuff.
Yeah, because they're scared. But you know, by every time you interact with that client, that you're like, he's a pain in the ass. I don't want to deal with him. No, that's an indication that you should let that guy go so that someone new can flow in that is a lot better. But if you don't let it go, the new can't flow in. It's an energy thing. So don't have fear around it. That choose your joy. It's just about choosing. It's actually very simple.
A bunch of guests that we had recently on, where a lot of them were talking about letting go of that fear. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden things change, lives change, yeah. Situations changed. They were fine with letting go of the fear or confronting the fear and then just going forward with it. Simple as that, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then that will happen. So if you let go.
Yeah, and do it anyway. That fear comes up to say like, hey, you should look at this. Maybe you don't want to do that. And you look at it to say, well, there's no safety issues with me doing that. I'm going to do it anyway. And so it's just about pushing past that. Not letting it like keep you down and keep you stuck, because like you said, there was someone that you were talking about that had a whole list of excuses for why they hadn't taken the steps they need to.
We're
that's
giving
all
ourselves
excuses.
Excuses to not do it when you should just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And recognize that the fear is just like this barrier that you're supposed to overcome. It's not meant to hold you back. It's there to say you can do this. You just have to find the strength and courage to overcome it. It's like a hurdle. If you think about literally people who jump hurdles, it's just a hurdle to say it's there. And it's like, okay, you're like this. You're at a level now that you can supersede, but you have to dig deep, find the courage and bravery inside of yourself to like jump that hurdle so that you can get to the next step and then to the next step and the next step. It's not meant to hold us back. So we have to look at fear as an opportunity for us to push past. One of my coaching certifications, whatever, they called it the resistance wall. And that wall comes up and we're like, no, I don't think I can do that. No. The resistance wall is supposed to show you that you have the ability to jump that hurdle. You can. You just have to believe that you do. And sometimes you will only believe it after you do it. You just have to push yourself. And then you look back and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Yeah, you can. We always
yeah,
can.
All through life, people have been doing that. They just forget to remind themselves that they achieved all these things. Mm-hmm. Starting from a baby. If a baby tries to walk and falls, you're going to not let him try again or her again.
Yeah.
Then they would never walk. Uh-huh. So you got to let them fall and then try again and try again.
Yeah.
So if you look back at all the things that you've accomplished, then those were all moments of fear before you actually accomplished
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. And that's one of the things that like a coach would say to you is like, look at all the evidence in your past life that tells you can do hard things. Look at that to say, okay, that's true. I did this, okay.
We're quick to forget those things that we accomplished that at the time were very challenging things to do. But we did it.
Right. And sometimes that's why working with a coach who is like forward thinking is going to pick on these or highlight certain things to make you aware that yes, you can. Because remember when you did this or how about looking at it from this perspective so that it can break you through to get to like another level. That's how like coaching is different than therapy or counseling. It's about looking at people's strengths, identifying what those strengths are to get them to move closer to the life that they actually want to live.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks, Vanny.
I think it do. If I go see a medium, I'm going to ask her if she's a large.
A large? A large? What does that mean?
She's a medium.
Oh.
That's what okay, I think I would say and now. See what kind of reaction I would get at. Because I've never met a male medium. Is there such a thing as a male medium?
I'm sure there are.
But every time you see them on Dr. Phil or any like those
they're
shows,
always women.
They're always women, right?
Yeah, well, that's why historically they were witches, right? Historically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like that's why mostly it's been women, but there are, I think it's probably more female. It's just because energetically the feminine energy.
Connects?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, not to say that male energy
isn't,
but.
I'm still asking for a large. That's going to be me. Okay, Teresa, thank you very much. We got to wrap this one up.
Thanks.
Right here. Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com. Or connect with her on IG at Teresa Greco_Steps to Happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.